But before I do that, when we were praying for Angus, Alice, and Holly, a lot of the great awakening in the history is because some young people decided they want to go after Christ, and they go hard. There seems to be a pattern on that. You know, I know God can use anyone, all right? So I know in my own heart, before I die, I want to see revival in Adelaide and Australia. So that's why I'm hanging out with the young people, because I believe the young one is the one that will bring something. And we oldies, anyone above 40s, you know, we cheer them on, you know, because you are not the future, you are the now generation. I'm saying to teenager, few of us here, and the 20-something, 30-something, you are the now generation. The Asian culture, you know, when you hit 50 and 60, then maybe you can be a leader. Possibility, all right? You have to really be old before you can. But I want to pray for the young ones. Just an exhortation. Paul said to Timothy, you know, don't let people look down on your youth. You know, live a life as an example that nobody can question you, all right? So, Father, I just pray for a new release of your anointing and authority on the young ones, the teenager, the 20-something, the 30-something. Father, would you bring a fresh passion and fire of faith in Jesus' name. So, 1 Peter. Let's look at 1 Peter. So we're going through a book, all right? Occasionally we go through a book because we think it's important. So sometimes we do topical, but to do a book, you can do verse by verse, all right? But because of the limited time, we're going to cover a whole chapter, but I'm actually going to kind of read through, because the Word of God have intrinsic power, which means if you just take a glean as a childlike faith, you'll gain something, because it's a living Word. It brings hope, and it stirs our faith. You know, it is faith that pleases God, because what we see, our five senses, is not enough. Science itself is very, very good kind of analytical way of looking at life, but it's not enough. So that's why we need to live by faith and not by sight. So let's have a look now. Joshua? Yeah, okay. So, if you were not here, you can look at the sermon that Pastor Maria, beautiful teacher, brought us last Sunday. But just to summarize, Peter was someone that Jesus called a rough fisherman, and his mannerism was rough. The way he spoke was abrupt and straight. And then we look at him writing in 1 Peter, he's becoming like a father, a pastor, radically changed. So for him, the importance of faith, just believing God and then perseverance. He's gone through a lot of suffering, he's seen a lot of things, and perseverance was very important. And for a very, very arrogant, prideful, and know-it-all, he became a very humble man. In 1 Peter, it talks a lot about being humble and pliable in the hands of God. You know, let God mold you, willing to be challenged and changed. Now, he was the one that always challenged even Jesus Christ. It's like, no, you don't wash my feet, you wash everything. And like, don't do this, don't do that. So he's the one telling Jesus how to market himself. All right? But he's become challenged and changed. And he's always making room in his heart. That's what humility is. You don't know everything, but God knows. So let's look at 1 Peter. So the way I'm going to do it, Joshua, please. Okay. The way I'm going to do it, like say, I'm just going through a lot of scripture and then just pick out, all right? Like say, 1 Peter is just loaded with stuff, all right? This is why Peter wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter. So reading from here, after you have suffered a little while. So brothers and sisters, this is good theology. All right? It's not prosperity theology. If you are Christian, you will suffer. Okay? But compared to eternity, it's a little while. The God of all grace. Again, Peter highlighting grace a lot in 1 Peter. All right? Peter is an action man, but he realized without grace, no action. The God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, that's our hope, will himself perfect. Who is going to perfect you? Will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's the grace of God. You know, save by grace, continue in grace, and finish in grace. Because the gracious God will see to it what he begins in you, he will bring it to completion. And then to him, which is Jesus Christ, dominion. He is in charge. That's his domain forever and ever. Amen. And then through Silvanus, or Silas for short, our faithful brother, I have written to you briefly. So Peter, again, acknowledge that he can't do it all. And he got his buddy Silas or Silvanus to write this letter for him. But the aim of the writing is to exhort the listener, the audience, to exhort, to encourage, and then to testify that this is the true grace of God again. The grace of God. And then say, because of the grace of God, no matter how much you suffer, and they did suffer in those days, stand firm in it. That's the message. So we're going to unpack it in 1 Peter a bit. All right, Joshua? Okay. The whole gist of 1 Peter, to summarize in one sentence, is to say, you're going to go through suffering. People are going to persecute it. But whatever you do, gear up. Pull up your sleeve. Gird your loin of your mind. Gear up for godly living with grace or holy living. Living in such a way with faith and hope in Christ, but demonstrating God's grace to everyone around you. All right, we're going to go through 1 Peter. Come on, Joshua. All right, so 1 Peter summary in sentence, all right? So I broke it up in chapter. It's a holy occupation that we call to. Because God is holy, be holy. How do we be holy? The grace of God again. So 1 Peter covers who are we in Christ? I think I need someone to read. Can I have another mic? I do get dry mouth. Can I have another mic for someone to read? Can I get you to read, Mary? Yeah. I get dry mouth, that's why I... can you go for it? Read that.
1 Peter 1. Okay. We're going to look at who are we in Christ? Who is our gracious God? What has God done for us graciously? Fiery faith with joy in sufferings, salvation story in scriptures and spirit, geared for godly living, Father of grace and work, born again to love forever, time is short, use enduring word.
So 25 verses in chapter 1 is full loaded with theology, good theology, because Paul, not Paul, Peter, can we go to the next slide? So I have to go quickly because there's a lot. Okay, so who are we in Christ? Peter, an apostle of Jesus, to those who reside or live as aliens, strangers, sojourners, or pilgrims. So Peter is writing to people who in those days are what we call Gentile Christian. So Peter was a leader in Jerusalem, which means the Messianic Jew. What it means is the first believer are from the Jewish background. So he's getting old. It's like 33 years after Christ had died. And after he wrote this letter, he died after 1 year. It was during about the same time as Paul, right? So he's getting very fatherly, and he realized he's not just father in Jerusalem church. There are Christians all over the world, all right? I didn't put it, but it's all over the world. So it's really for us too. And he addressed it, you are really like aliens, strangers, pilgrims. And most of us don't think like that. Yes, we are born in Kuala Lumpur or born in Sydney, but he said, yeah, that's your local place, but you're actually still a pilgrim, which means your home is not here, all right? It's scattered, dispersed throughout the earth, but you are the chosen one. You are the chosen one. You did not choose God. God chose you. God chose you according to the foreknowledge of God. Again, it's a big word. All it means is God knew before you were born that you were going to be somehow called and chosen into his family. All right? So foreknowledge of God the Father. All right? God the Father. Then by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Sanctifying means being cleaned up, made holy, being purified, to obey Jesus Christ. Big word. We're called, chosen to obey Jesus Christ. We're called, chosen not to live on our own. We're called to deny ourselves, to take up the Christ, to follow Jesus Christ, and be sprinkled with his blood, the precious blood of Christ. So through all that, the sprinkling of light, and then may the grace and peace be yours in full measure or be multiplied to you. Next one. All right. What has God done for us? So this is good theology because Peter wants you to know who you are and what you are in God before he asks you to do things. All right. So blessed be. Okay, Maria, can you read?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living or heavenly hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.
So again, there's so much in that, all right? But the thing is, again, you're born again into a living hope. So Peter is an apostle of hope. He's like, come on, guys. No matter how much you suffer, there is hope. And this hope is eternal. Therefore, we can live on. And we have this imperishable seed. It's like saying you got the divine DNA. You're not going to lose. So this fiery times that you have on earth, it will cause suffering. But for eternity-wise, it's okay. Next one. Can you read that again?
In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed or grieved by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls.
So Peter is being very real here, all right? So we are not called to be happy, clappy Christian. Peter is very clear that you will get distress and grief through various trials. Okay? So when you get depressed, it's okay. But in the midst of it, again, Peter call us out to say, come on, let's focus for real. We're just passing through our eternal hope. This, you know, joy inexpressible. I don't think I've experienced that. But, you know, that's by faith and by hope. And it's full of glory. And that's what Peter is calling the people to sort of say, get your focus right. All right? If you focus on the circumstances, it's just going to be tough. We are called to live above the circumstances. That's not denying the reality of the world is tough. It's saying you will go through it. But bear with it. It's a testing of your faith. You know, I don't know whether you compare notes with James or not. You know, when you go through all trials and tribulation, count it pure joy. I don't know. But if you stick with Peter, Peter is trying to write, or maybe Silas pick it up. All right, Silas who writes. You know, Silas obviously have a bit of permission to write in his own style, because 1 Peter was considered one of the very high kind of Greek, which for most people, like, you know, a fisherman would probably don't have that kind of education. So it's a lovely letter that Silas has put together with Peter. So that's how hope, the rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of our faith the salvation of our soul. So we will be tested by fire. Talking about fire, Peter actually predicted there was going to be fire in Rome. He wrote this about AD 63, AD 64. There's an emperor called Nero who just crazily burned up Rome. Rome was just one street, and it just burned up Rome for 3 days, 3 nights. And then he like, oh, I don't want to get caught. Let's blame the Christian. So the Christian copied, bad time. The Christian, you know, Nero was crazy. He would put like a wild beast skin on Christian. So tile the wild beast skin and let his wild dog go after the Christian. So the Christian was just mauled and persecuted, killed in whatever way. So Peter seems to pick it up. And because this was written just before the time. So fiery fate in a fiery time. Next one, please.
As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you. In these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look.
So this is a context that Peter is trying to bring the Jewish Old Testament, which is the prophet prophesizing that the God of grace is going to send Jesus Christ. So Peter had to put it in that context because Peter wants to know the gospel is not just for the Jews. And then he say, yep, it was predicted, the prophet and all that. Then he say, no, what is really the key is this gospel is from the Holy Spirit, from heaven. And that last part is quite interesting. In these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So if you know Peter in Acts 10, he went to Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman Italian soldier, or one of the big guys, centurion maybe. He was praying, and then an angel came to Cornelius and said, you need to send a couple of guys and go down and talk to this guy and bring him to the good news. So I'm bringing that context is because the angels was instrumental of bringing the first Gentile Christian, Cornelius, to Christ. So God used an angel. And so Peter, like, maybe angels is always interested when one come to the Lord. Luke 15, when he talks about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, the lost coin, in that part, when the woman sort of found the coin, and Jesus say, the angels will rejoice, the angels will party. So there's deeper teaching on that, but that might be what Peter was alluding, that the angels is involved in searching out the gospel and the salvation story. Next one.
Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy.
So the first 12 verses, Peter established who is God, what God has done, and who are you in Christ. Now he's getting, because you know all that, the being who you are in Christ is very important before you do. So too many Christians sort of do and not realize who they are. Then they burn out. It's the being understanding the God's grace that we do. And it's because of God's grace, it says here, all right, you can gear up, prepare your mind. You know, in the old days, it's basically pulling up, girding up their loins so that they can run, you know. So this is like, for us Aussie, rolling up our sleeve, you know, for action. So gearing up. But it starts with your mind first. You have to decide in your mind, do you want this or not? You have to decide in your mind, do you want to be an obedient children of Christ? You have to decide in your mind whether you're going to live a holy life. You have to decide. Then you fix your hope completely on the grace. You know, keep sober. Keep sober. That's a really self-discipline, self-control. And then do not conform to the former lust. Again, you know, conform to the former lust. Paul would say, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be renewed, you know. So the former lust is, again, is a Gentile way of living. So Jews sort of look at the Gentile thing, okay, their way of living is not good. That's what it's saying, all right? Kind of immoral stuff and all that. Next one, please.
If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of the Lamb, unblemished and spotless, of Christ.
So I hope you will read through after the sermon, you know, sometime tonight or whatever. But again, this is, you know, so the Father of God is a Father of grace, but then it says, will judge you according to each one's work. So grace is not opposed to work, all right? Grace is not opposed to work. Same thing, faith without work is dead, you know? But the action, the work again, comes from the grace of God. Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's workmanship. All right? We are God's workmanship. God already done something in you to do good works which he prepared in advance for you to walk in. All right? So grace does not oppose to work. And there's a lot about the grace of God here. And then whatever we do, conduct yourself in fear. And then you are redeemed. Redeemed as in bought with the precious blood of Christ. You know, the value of something is how much someone's willing to pay. You know, if I hold up this cup, you know, some people might be kind of like, oh, yeah, this cup is so valuable and put $1 million. So the value of your soul, the price is the blood of Christ. That's how valuable you are. And you know, sometimes we don't realize the other person is also as valuable. You know, in the context of Christianity, how do we treat each other? You know, Maria and I kind of like, sorry, this side, accept one another as Christ accept. You know, do we value someone, you know, like, wow, they are valuable as the price, blood of Christ. So, God will look at us, how we use our grace to do good works for his glory. Next one, please.
For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God.
There you go. I sort of jump ahead. Fervently love one another from the heart. You know, purify your soul for a sincere love of the brethren in obedience to the truth. So if you are obedient to the truth, the greatest sign is your love life, how you love. I believe at the end time, when we each stand before the Father, I think one of the questions the Father God would ask, how did you love on earth? How do you love that stranger that came to your place? How do you love your sister who just sit next to you in church? You know, fervently. I think that's furious love, passionate love. Not erotic, obviously, but, you know, just really agape, heartfelt love. You know, that I'll do anything for you kind of love. You know, I will stand in the gap for you. I'll pray for you. I'll care for you. I'll sacrifice if I need to, that kind of love. In obedience to truth, through the living and enduring word of God. Whatever we do, all right, it must be based on the living word. I know I hear a lot of people kind of say, oh, I'm into sound teaching, as if Marin Vineyard don't do that, which is unfortunate, because I love the Bible. I use the Bible. But, you know, so to study the Bible is not the only way to get to know God. All right? Knowing the Bible and knowing God is quite different. You know, so that's why a lot of our preaching is not just digging out what Greeks say and how many and all that. So I'm not in a way criticizing. All I'm saying is I love the word. I can discuss the word in any way with anyone because I know the word. But the way to study the word or to study the word does not equate knowing God. It's just devotionally reading and gleaning from God, talking to God. Next one, please. I think it's the last one now.
Time is short. Live in the enduring word. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord.
So I think Peter is saying, life is short, particularly in those times, all right? Then Peter wrote in 2 Peter about the coming of Christ because they were going through hell on earth, all right? If you read some of the record, what Nero did with a Christian, and it spread because he said, Christian did this, Christian did that, then it also go beyond the Rome that Christian, whatever the name of Christian was mentioned, they were persecuted, they were killed, they were lynched, as in hang and all that. So that was a time where so much suffering that Peter had to remind again, mirror your life with the living word, you know? Don't worry about other people's opinion. Just measure yourself and say with the living word, are you living to as much as you can by the grace of God to what you think the word is asking you or instructing you to do? Because the word of God, where Peter preached, was really Jesus Christ himself. Because Peter hang out with Jesus and realize he was the word, fleshed out with a face, with a human body, and he walked on it to reflect who Jesus is, as in Jesus the God, Son of God, who the Father is, and what the Holy Spirit is. So whatever you do, measure yourself, mirror yourself, am I living as the word suggests or instruct? This is important for our time because I know a lot of young people, not only young people, I know a lot of people just go on podcasts, you know, and you listen and you follow someone, but that's someone you don't even haven't met before, but yet you trust the word of that podcast person so much. Why don't you go to the living word, the enduring word, and just ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? You know, the Bible. Use the Bible to reflect your life. Last one, please. There's more. Okay, that's it. All right. So, summary is 1 Peter 1. It's all about holy occupation. You can go through it. And the whole idea is suffering. You're going to have suffering. In fact, when you suffer, it's okay to be distressed, to grieve, but realize it's only for a little while compared to eternal glory. Amen. Come on, Angus. We're gonna sing a couple of songs, and then we're just gonna wait.